Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us stand to worship. God, your love is so great. Your love is so strong. We thank you for your love, and we come to worship you today.
There were walls between us. By the cross you came and broke them down. You broke them down. There were chains around us. By your grace we are no longer bound. No longer bound.
You call me out of the grave. You call me into the light. You call my name and then my heart came alive.
Your love is greater. Your love is stronger. Darkness shaking, all the dead are coming back to life. I'm back to life. Hear the song awaken, all creation singing, we're alive, 'cause you're alive.
You call me out of the grave, you call me into the light, you call my name and then my heart came alive.
Stronger, your love awakens, awakens, awakens me. Your love is greater, your love is stronger.
Blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us. Can a song contain the glory of your name? Can my voice express the sum of all your praise? Still a song of worship is my offering, 'cause you're worthy of more than everything. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah. So we sing hallelujah.
song contain the glory of your name? Can my voice express the sum of all your praise? Still a song of worship is my offering, because you're worthy of more than everything. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Kings and Lord of Lords, the Holy One and only God, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs. To the one who knows our brokenness, who gave his life and died for us, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs. To the one who saved my soul from sin and shame, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we sing sound, who reigns in glory and renown, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs. To our hope, our joy, our peace and love, who was and is to come, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs.
To the one who comes, the trumpet sound, who reigns glory and renown, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs. To our hope, our joy, our peace and love, who was and is to come, you're worthy of all the hallelujahs. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us this living hope in Christ Jesus, who has given us this inheritance in Christ Jesus, and who has also given us a new identity. Because you see that inheritance is not for everybody, it's for the sons and daughters, the children of God. We have that identity. And not only that, later on in the scripture it says, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for God's own possession. Get this, I'm going to repeat it one more time. We are his chosen race, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, and we are people for his own possession. Blessed be God. Blessed be our Father. And not only that, church, we have a calling right now in this world, in this day and age. As the priests, as the chosen nation and the race, we are to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Proclaim his excellencies, proclaim this glory, because he has called us from darkness into marvelous light. And church, I'm going to invite you to use this next song to really sink in that identity you have in Christ, to the calling that he has called you to.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Let's sing this.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. A place I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Church, let's pray together. God, we thank you for this new identity that you have given us. That you have called us out of that darkness into this marvelous light. And that you have called us to be the chosen people, the chosen race, the holy priesthood. And it turns out our life in here isn't without meaning. It turns out our life in this place and on earth at this time isn't without meaning. Because we are to proclaim the excellencies, the glory. Proclaim your glory, your excellencies. God, would you empower us, would you strengthen us with your Holy Spirit to do that such thing? Because we know we can't do it on our own. And God, would you help us to really dig in and really adopt that identity into us? And God, would you soften our hearts? Because we know you're going to speak to us in your word. Would you prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our ears so that we can hear what you have to say to us and what you're calling to us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Please be seated.
So let me start off with a story. So when I was in the army, there was such a thing in one of my courses, which was to swim 2 km out into the sea and then back. And when you swim out in the sea, there are different things that happen. There's the wind, there's the sun, there's the current, there's the waves. And then you are paired up with different people. So we have the strong swimmers with the not so strong swimmers. And then you would have to help each other to swim forward around the buoy and then back. So it's 2 km out and 2 km back. And when you're battling the different natural forces and you have to swim and all you have on you is just a life jacket, there's no way that you could rest or you could stop halfway to try and get back your energy. If you were to stop swimming at a moment, you would be pushed off course or you would be pushed back towards the shore. So we have to keep swimming and keep swimming and keep swimming. And this just reminds me of something. If you're not moving forward constantly, you're moving backwards. If not moving forward constantly, you're moving backwards. And this saying, it reminds me of my own faith journey. It's like if I'm not constantly moving forward to learn more about my faith or learn more about God or learn more about His Word, I am moving backwards. I experienced this for myself. At the age of 16 or 17, around that time, I had this passion for the Bible. I had the passion for the Word, and I would enroll myself in adult night classes in a local seminary in Singapore. So I wanted to know more about Isaiah. I wanted to know more about Revelation. So I studied. And that's when I learned more and I could feel that my faith was growing. But then when I entered into my next phase of life where I confirmed myself, so because in the Anglican family, confirmation meant the same as baptism because I had baby baptism. So when you come of age, you would have confirmation, which is where you would affirm your faith and you would declare that this is something that you want to believe in. So after I've declared my faith, I took a break and I stopped. And that stopped caused a lot of trouble for me because that stop made my life messy. Although I continued to go to church, right? I continued to pray. My prayer was only when I needed help. I would say, God, I need help with my exam. Can you please help me? And full stop. My communication with God stopped there. My prayers, they were no longer like, oh, Lord, I want to know more about you. I praise you. No, it was just, God, I need your help. Full stop. And when things were done, I don't say, oh, thank you, God, for helping me out. No, that's where everything stopped. And my life started to become messy. And when I go to church, it's not for God. It's not that I wanted to spend time with Him in praise and worship or listen to the sermon. I was in church because I want to spend time with my friends. And that just reflected badly on myself and my whole entire life. It got messy and my faith started to slide backwards. It got to the point where I don't pray and I don't ask God for help. I don't read the Bible. I don't do a devotion. And that made me realize that as long as I'm not constantly moving forward in my faith, it's going to cause me to move backwards. And it was only until I discovered my passion for the Bible, passion for the Word once more, that I started to grow again. And most of us, we have certain experiences where our faith would grow and then it would stagnate or maybe backslide. But the thing is, there are people that we can learn from. There are different people that throughout history, they have been figure of faith and they are rock solid in their faith. So who's better to learn from than Peter? Peter was named the rock by Jesus, and he was the one who decided to follow Jesus, and he was the one who the church was built. So this Peter, we're going to learn from him. We're going to learn from him his faith journey. We're going to grow with him. We're going to watch him, the different experiences, and see how he grows. So who is Simon Peter? Simon Peter is one of the 12 apostles from Jesus, all right? He used to be a fisherman, but Jesus called him to serve him and to follow him and to become a fisher of men. Simon Peter was also the one who was very rash, and he cut off the ear of someone. He was also the one who denied Jesus for 3 times. And he was also the same person that Jesus asked him, "Do you love me? If you do, feed my sheep." So learning from Simon Peter, we'll go straight all the way back to his starting point. Right? All of us have different starting points. Some of us, we might have grown up in the church and we have a solid foundation in the Bible. Some of us might be like Simon Peter, where out of the blue, Jesus asked him to follow. Or some of us, we might experience some big events in our lives and we decided to follow Jesus. So today, what we're going to do today is we're going to go all the way back to the start of Simon Peter's life, where he met Jesus and he decided to follow Jesus. Let us see, how did Simon Peter react to his experience with Jesus, and what did he do? What was his response? So today we are going to look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. All right, let's read together the passage. So in verse 1 to 5, it says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets.'" So when we are reading this, I have a question that I'm very curious about. There are boats there. Why did he pick Simon Peter's boats? And why did Simon Peter respond to Jesus saying, "Okay, sure, get in my boat and let's go"? Well, we have to backtrack a little bit. We have to go back to chapter 4, verse 30 and 39. So in that section, what happened was Jesus finished preaching and he was invited to Simon Peter's house. And Simon Peter, his mother-in-law, was sick. So when she was sick, she had fever. And Simon Peter asked Jesus, "Can you heal her?" Because by then, Jesus had a reputation that he was a healer. He was someone who could heal people with different diseases. And Simon Peter asked Jesus, "Jesus, can you heal my mother-in-law?" So in front of Simon Peter, what Jesus did was he rebuked and he scolded the fever, and the fever left. And his mother-in-law stood up, recovered, and she started to serve them while Jesus continued to do other miraculous things. So in front of Simon Peter, Jesus continued to heal different people. He continued to cast out demons. And that was the experience that Simon Peter had. And probably Simon Peter during that time, he was thinking, "Oh, this guy is not normal." Because during that time, fever was not something that when you pop a pill and you eat it and you recover or the fever will be suppressed, what you could do is only that you have to put on a wet towel on your forehead, and then during that time, you had to wait for the fever to go away. But Jesus, at his word, he rebuked it and the fever left. So that was something miraculous, and that experience put Simon Peter at a position where when Jesus asked him, he probably thought, "You know, because you saved my mother-in-law, because I saw you do such miraculous thing, I'm going to think that you're someone who's bigger than, you know, a regular carpenter son. So I will say, yes, okay, Jesus, you can take my boat." And at the same time, Simon Peter, he was tired, all right? After one whole night of fishing, he got nothing. So he had nothing better to do anyway. So he said, okay, get on my boat. I would let you use my boat to go and preach. So that's what happened. So Jesus got onto the boat of Simon Peter and he preached. And at the end of it, Jesus asked Simon Peter to do one thing. He was like, put your nets out and to cast. Cast your nets out. But Simon Peter, right, he is a fisherman. He's a fisherman that has experienced fishing. He was someone who has boats and he has someone who knows what he's doing. So as a teenager, probably Simon Peter, his dad took him out and said, you know, son, this is where the best currents are. This is where the fish would be. This is where you can get the most fish. And Simon Peter, he learned and he did well. He grew up and he has all the experience. But here comes Jesus, a carpenter's son, and said, you know, cast out your nets. And Simon Peter, his reaction was, Master, we toiled all night. But, you know, because of what you said and because of my impression of you, all right, I will do it. So Simon Peter, he probably has an impression that Jesus is someone who's great because he has seen all the things that Jesus has done. He has seen all the miracles. He sees the people being healed. He sees the demons being cast out. And as someone who's grown up in the synagogues, listening to different stories, he associated Jesus to those prophets who had the ability to heal people and cast out demons. So because of that, he respected Jesus. He said, okay, Jesus, for these few reasons, I respect you and I call you Master and I will do what you say. Because I think, you know what? It's not going to cost me anything anyway. I'm just going to throw out my nets. If there's nothing, it's nothing. Because anyway, I've toiled one night. I don't get anything. It's fine. But here comes the part where Simon Peter was a little bit more shocked and in awe than what actually happened. So after casting out the nets, that is when he witnessed a miracle right in front of him. The nets were full to the point where it was almost breaking and they had to ask people for help. They had asked the other people, the other boat to come over to help them. And even with two boats, the two boats were on the verge of sinking. And at that moment, Simon Peter realized something. He realized that this man in front of him is not just any other man. And this man in front of him, probably a high chance, is a representative of God. And he immediately, he said, oh, leave me. He associated what Jesus has done to what Moses has done, which was control over the natural elements. He split the Red Sea. He associated Jesus to what Elijah has done, calling down the fire from heavens. He associated to what Elijah has done, it was to control the elements and prevent anything from coming down. And that is when he realized that this guy is not just a mere prophet, he is a representative of God. And he was shocked. And he was thinking, oh no, the way I said things, the words I use, I probably have offended this guy. And he knows that he's in the presence of someone greater than himself. Because why? The association is that for the high priest during that time, when they wanted to enter into the presence of God or enter into the Holy of Holies, they have to clean these, they have to wash that, they have to pray here, they have to burn that. So there are a ton of rituals for those high priests to go through before they can enter into the presence of God. But at this moment right now, Simon Peter, he is in the presence of someone bigger than himself, in the presence of a representative of God. So his first reaction is to kneel down. He kneeled down and he said, be away from me, for I am a sinner. He acknowledges that he's a sinner and he knows that he has done something wrong and he knows that he's not pure because he recognized that the person in front of him is someone greater than himself. Wow. But the thing about Simon Peter was, he knows, he has made all this association and he is afraid. He is in awe and he is in fear. But Jesus responds to that fear and that awe by saying three words. He said, do not be afraid. This phrase, do not be afraid, seems very simple, right? After Jesus said that, do not be afraid, you'll become fisher of men. And after that, Simon Peter dropped everything and followed him. It seems so easy to call people to follow Jesus. I wish I could go up to someone and say, hey, you'll be a fisher of men. And then they become a follower of Jesus. But the words, do not be afraid, it has a heavier impact than just telling Simon Peter, hey, do not fear me. Because when Jesus said, do not be afraid, Simon Peter once more, he recalls the different stories he has heard. He recalls the different teachings from the synagogues. When the people who are in the presence of God and they're afraid and they're on their knees like Moses in front of the burning bush, the words do not be afraid has a deeper meaning, which is the words that God used when he called people to serve him and when he called people to follow him. So when Simon Peter heard the words, do not be afraid, his mind made that association, his mind made that connection to, oh, Jesus is calling me. Jesus is calling me to follow. And his reaction was to drop everything and to follow. I can't help but remember my own experience. Simon Peter, he experienced realization of who Jesus is, realization of who he is, to understanding the implication of who Jesus is, to following Jesus, all in a span of one day. But for myself, it was slightly different. I did not fully experience God. I did not fully understand the whole entire process within one day. It took me a few years. At the age of 16, when I understood and I realized who Jesus is, that made me want to know more about him. But it took me a few years after that. It took me time. It took me messiness in my life to understand that the implication of who Jesus is. When we realize that Jesus is holy, when we realize Jesus is pure, when we realize that Jesus is someone bigger than ourselves, the implication of that is that I am not worthy. I am not worthy of everything. I'm not worthy of following Jesus. I'm not worthy of the grace and the mercy. But the thing is, Jesus Christ, he has given us that very one thing that we do not deserve, which is the grace and the mercy. He has given us the gift of discipleship. When we look at how Simon Peter responded to his first experience, his first realization, we think back to our own. Do you still remember the experience you had? Do you still remember the point or the moment that you come to the realization? There are three things that we can learn from Simon Peter's encounter with Jesus. Is that there are three words. The first word is realization. The second word is implication. And the third word is follow. Simon Peter, he realized who Jesus is. It helped him to realize who he is. And there are two things to note about realization. Is that sometimes when we experience good things in our life, sometimes when we have good things in our life, our first reaction is, oh yes, thank you. I need more of such good things in my life. Or it could be, oh yes, I persevered so hard and these good things, I deserve it. The first thing to realize is all these good things in our lives, do you realize that this is different encounters and different experience with God? Do you still remember the different things that happened in your life throughout the past few years, the past few months, the past few days, or even yesterday? Do you realize the different things happening in your life? It could be encounters with God. Do you realize that? The second thing to realize is, do you realize how far you have come or how different we are? Simon Peter, at the moment where he realized who Jesus is, everything seemed to disappear away from him. The sound of the fish struggling in the nets, the sound of people heaving and hoeing, trying to get themselves out from the sheep and trying to save themselves, the sound of the sinking ship, all of that just disappears. And all that mattered was him and Jesus. And his response to that, his response to that realization was to kneel down and to admit. So for us, do we still remember that? Do you still remember that moment when you realize who Jesus is? Do you still remember that moment when you come to that point in time where you said, yes, this is who Jesus is. Jesus is pure. Jesus is holy. God is good and God is full of mercy, full of grace. Do you remember that? I encourage you to return to that point and go back to that point in time when you remember. And when you remember and you realize, yes, this is that moment where you believe. This is the moment when you want to follow. And after you have realized, when you remember that realization, the second word is implication. The implication is, Do you know what does it mean when you realize who Jesus is? Jesus is someone who is pure. Jesus is someone who is holy. Jesus is someone who is unblemished, and He's the one who carried our sins. And at that point in time, when we realize that Jesus is all this, the implication is that I am not worthy. I do not deserve this grace. I do not deserve this mercy. Because I am a sinner. The implication of the realization of who Jesus is that I am a sinner, and I know I do not deserve this. But here comes the next part, which is to follow. Because of who Jesus is, because of His death for us on the cross, He has given us grace, and He has given us this gift, which is the gift of discipleship, the gift of following Him. Simon Peter's response to this gift is to drop everything and to follow. Simon Peter's response to this is to follow. He dropped his family. He's someone with a mother-in-law. He has a wife. He has his own boat. He's going into something entirely different, something that he's not familiar with. He's a fisherman. But he dropped everything and he followed. That was the response that Simon Peter had. And when we think about that, what was your response when you first remember when you first realized who Jesus is? Do you remember that response? That response was for you to follow. And that is why we have that sense in us that we want to be on this journey. That is our starting point. Do you still remember how it was for you? Do you remember what was the point of your realization? Do you remember what was the point of the implication? Do you remember at the point which you followed? Sometimes over the years, we might have forgotten who God is. We might have forgotten who Jesus is. We might have relied upon ourselves for certain things or we might have just put God aside. And that has caused our faith to not grow. We still have faith, but it might not be a growing faith. So today, as we prepare our hearts for communion, as we prepare our hearts to enter into communion with our God again, I encourage you to recall that moment in which you first realized who Jesus is. To recall that implication and to use today's communion as a point where you're going to recommit yourself one more time. Use today's communion as a time when you're going to tell yourself, this is who I'm following. He's Jesus. He is pure. He is holy. He is full of grace, full of mercy. This is the one that I'm following. And to rededicate yourself once more to following Jesus, to use today the communion to reaffirm yourself and to reaffirm this faith that you have. So let us quiet down our hearts and let's prepare our hearts for communion. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, He gave thanks, and He said, "This is my body. Take this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took up the cup. He said, "This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In a few moments when we enter into communion, as you partake in communion, I encourage you to think about the different experiences that you have with Christ Jesus, to think about your different experiences that you have with God, to recall them, to come to the realization of who God is, to come to a realization of who we are, and to use today's communion to once more confirm yourself, recommit yourself to Christ. The communion is open to all who who profess that Christ Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior. Let us prepare our hearts and let us partake in the elements together. Let us pray. Lord, we want to give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who has died on the cross for us. We want to give thanks that his blood for us has washed our sins and has given us the gift of discipleship. Lord, I want to come before you and I'll put ourselves in front of you once more. And I want to pray. And I want to ask you to help us to remember the point in time when we realize who you are, to realize your graciousness, to realize your love, to realize your mercy. And I want to pray that you help us to recall and to remember that implication, and to help us to recall and remember at that moment in time when we want to follow you. So Lord, I pray that today, as we recommit ourselves, you continually to help us to remember who we are and who you are, what you have done for us. Lord, I pray that when we remember this, our faith would be a growing faith, and that our journey of faith will be one that grows together with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us rise for the response song.
Caught up in your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't know me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence, I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus, you don't know me anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never wanna leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't know me anything more than I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do.
Church, when we sing today, throughout that worship service, we're in the presence of God. We're in the presence of the Holy One, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. That's who we are in the presence of. We're in the presence of the one who has made the whole universe with a word. We're in the presence of one who reigns over the supernatural and the natural and all of creation. We're in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we come before you just like Peter, and we say, God, we are a sinful man. In your eyes, we're like a peck of dust in the whole universe. Who are we to say no to you? Who are we to deny you? Who are we to ignore you? Who are we to treat you with indifference? So ridiculous. How is it that we as creatures, this little dust in the universe, can be indifferent to the holy God who has made the whole universe? And God, sometimes we're weak like that. We're weak like that. God, have mercy on us. As you have mercy to Peter, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. God, would you relight the fire that's within us? Would you restore the faith that we had at the beginning? Would you restore that fascination and that awe and that reverence of you when we first believe, when we first learned that there is this greater God in the universe that's made everything? God, would you restore that fascination and that awe inside of us? God, we love to, we'd like to, deep down in our hearts, we know you are the source of the love and our purpose and our hope. We know that. So God, would you help us, your Holy Spirit, empower us to treat you with the utmost devotion and to follow you when you call us. God, would you help us daily to follow you? In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Please be seated.
As we bring our worship service to a close, once again, I want to welcome those of you that are joining us for the first time. You can head to mykec.ca to learn more about us, to learn about our iCost Smart Group, to learn about our children program. You can also just browse the rest of our YouTube channel for our past sermon messages or for some of our worship music. Also, encourage the church to keep on worshiping through offering, and you can do that through a credit card, through the PayPal method, or you can mail us a check, and you can find our address to Koinonia Ministry Center at the end screen page. I have one very important announcement for you, and that has to do with children program, our Karpos ministry. As you may know, Karpos and the children ministry staff, they have been producing worship content for you and for your children to worship together every single week. But you may have noticed that something's missing, because we certainly know something's missing. A very important element of community is missing, because the children aren't able to see each other. They can't see their buddies, they can't see their leaders or their pastors. And as such, the Karpos is introducing a brand new program called Karpos Online. And obviously, as the name suggests, the children will be able to meet regularly online, and they will be able to connect with their buddies and their leaders and their pastors, and they will do games together perhaps, sing songs, activities, and maybe hear some Bible stories. And how this is going to work is, if your children is from toddler, preschool, and kindergarten, the children will meet once a month. And if your children is in grade 1 to 5, your children will meet weekly, regularly. And you will have to register for this. So head to mykc.ca, go to the Next Generation tab, and you'll be able to find the Karpos Online registration form there. And just one note here is that we strongly recommend attendance of 70% or above. And obviously, for safety reasons, we don't want children coming in and dropping out every single week. And also for the children, for your children, they will be able to bond with one another much quicker if we see regular faces every single week. This Karpos Online is going to start September 20th, and the deadline to registration is September 13th. So if you have any questions, you can fill that in the Connect card, and you can let us know there, or you can email Pastor Ava, our children and youth ministry pastor, directly. You can find her email at ava@koinoniachurch.ca. Now with that, I'm going to bless you with the word of God, and I'm going to send you out. Today's passage is from Ephesians chapter 3. May the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the riches of his glory, grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Church, we'll see you next week.